Hello, everyone. Before I start, I just want to say thank you to Outlook Church, eh? Thank you for the opportunity to actually come and speak in front of you about a verse that is very personal to me, and I think it can touch somebody tonight. And yeah, I just want to pray, and then, yeah, let's get this. Thank you, Father God, for the opportunity to actually speak your word. Lord, tonight, as you know, it's my first time in front of the church speaking about a verse that you really helped me through my struggles and my addictions, one would put it addictions. And yeah, Lord, please be with me and help me speak your word and your word only. Amen. Oh, so it's impossible to serve two masters. You know, sometimes we think we can actually serve, you know, your money and God. But we all read in the Bible that it's actually impossible to actually do that, because in you serving your money, you neglect your spiritual gifts. You neglect, you know, like that thing, because it's like putting two dogs together. If you feed this dog more, he becomes stronger, but then you neglect this dog and then ultimately gets skinny and then he dies. So sad. And sometimes we ask ourselves, but Lord, why are my finances the way they are? Why? And simple. You're not investing it into my kingdom. You're doing it because you want to feed your selfish needs and desires. And that, for me, that verse actually spoke to me, because when I look back to how before, I'm just a young lad from Centurion, Pretoria, born and raised. And while I was there, I realized that with any bit of finances I would get, I would squander it. I would not invest it into God's kingdom, but I would only invest it in my needs and my desires. Because, yo, I saw this sneaker. Lord, but if I buy this sneaker, it's like, will I have petrol to come to church? Think about it for a bit. You want to buy that sneaker for 3,000 rand, and then you ask yourself, but Lord, okay, I'm working now, I'm getting a salary, but why is my money finishing 2 weeks before actually? Why is my money finishing 2 weeks before I actually get paid? And then it came to me, and it's like, okay. Oh, but I ask myself, look back at my bank statements, I'm like, banna, how? I don't have money now. And then I remember, chutz, man, I went to go buy this sneaker for 2.5. Now, I don't have money to come to church. Now it's like, bro, can you please borrow me money here just so I can come to church? So now already you're going a step back. You saying that, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, bless my finances, help me do this. But then at the same time, you're accumulating debt just so you can, you know, come to church and act all, I'm at church. But then, you know, that uncle there in the back, it's like, I need my money, bro. I borrowed you that 200 rand. I borrowed you that 100 rand. And then now you accumulate debt. And I found myself in a situation like that while I was at home. I found myself in a situation. And when I was joining my local church back at home called Highway Church, my pastor at the time did a verse from like a preaching series from the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 10 to 13. And I think we all know that verse, you know, while we read it, it speaks about the shrewd leader. You know, he was that guy. And it goes as follows. Whoever can be trusted with little things can be trusted with more. And whoever's dishonest with the very little will be dishonest with much. So tonight, I just want to, you know, I made some 3 points. And I would like to start off with the first point. Be trustworthy with the little things. Luke 16, verse 10. It says, and I wrote this for myself, if you are responsible and honest with little things, like handling small amounts of money or keeping a simple promise to someone, people will trust you with a bigger responsibility. But if you are dishonest or careless with the small things, no one will trust you with an even bigger thing. So God will not put you in a position where he knows that you can't handle it. You ask yourself that, okay, Lord, but why am I not getting that promotion? Why am I not getting a raise? Because, come on, you're not ready for it. You're not ready. It's a simple fact as if you trying to push for that, you know, 15,000 or that 30,000, you'll end up finding yourself in the same position that you're in. Because, Lord, hey, I'm not tithing. Hey, but it's my finances. No, but it's my money. I work so hard to get this deal done. But you're simply not ready. And that for me actually stuck to me because it's like, Lord, hey, Lord, I want to get, you know, 30,000 a month. You know, nice is young guy, doesn't have much responsibilities. All I have to do is make sure my car's petrol, my car's serviced. I buy food. I don't have a child. I don't have this, and I understand parents. Now I understand why now my parents were so stressed about, ish, I'm the only breadwinner, but I'll make sure that I'll never go to bed. And my parents made sure that I'll never, will never go to bed hungry. We have a roof over our heads. We have a bed to sleep in. We are able to wake up in the morning and actually, you know, have a full meal. And it got me thinking that some people are not as fortunate as us. But you see, us as Christians, we try and, you know, we always complaining to say, hey, Lord, hey, Lord is forgetting my prayers. I prayed about this. I prayed about that. He hasn't answered you. He hasn't forgotten about what you prayed. He just knows that you're not ready for that. And he can't give you the responsibility to actually handle that amount of money. So, yeah. Second point that I wrote here says here that I wrote here, true wealth. Listen to this. True wealth is not just about money. True wealth. We think that wealth, ish, I have a net worth of 1 million rand, but that's not true wealth, is it now? It's not. And it reads here from Luke 16, 11 to 12. It says, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Who? I know that God won't let me, you know, God won't give me something that I can't handle. Can't. He won't give me that. And I wrote here for myself, I'm like, if you cannot manage your worldly wealth wisely, why would you be trusted with something even greater, like a deeper relationship, a personal growth, or spiritual blessings? Also, if you do not take care of what belongs to others, how can you expect to have your own? How can you expect that? A simple thing, for example, if Brent gives me, well, if Brent says, hey, come on, I'm going to Italy, for example. Hey, I need you to house sit for me. Now you think, hey, okay, this guy's not here. Let me throw a party. And then he comes back, hey, the house is damaged. But if I look after it as if I'm the one who is paying or who's maintaining that house, I believe that you know, the Lord would see that and people will like, you know, hey, we can, like, people will say to me, okay, yeah, no, we can trust this guy. He can look after our house. You know, he can look after my car. He makes sure that if he borrows me his car, it comes back clean. If it came back with the full tank of petrol, you'll get it back with the full tank of petrol. Something so small. And sometimes we think that the Lord doesn't see the little things that we're doing. But if we're doing it because we want to feed our ego, then I believe that we're not doing it right. I believe we're not doing it right, because how can you say that, no, this is my money, this is my this, my that. It's not mine, it's God's. He gave you the responsibility of it. He actually gave it to you so he can take it away anytime he wants. But he knows he won't do that if you are actually looking after it. And the last point, that how I came about my sermon, it's impossible to serve two masters, is I said, yeah, literally, you can't serve two masters. Luke 16:13. And says here in the Bible, from 16 verse 13, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and your finances. You can't, guys. I tried. I said, hey, okay, I'll take that 10% when I have it. No. The Bible actually says 10% actually belongs to God, because if you get 100%, you have to give God 10% and you left with the 90%. Because if you're investing it in the kingdom, you'll reap great rewards. You will. Like the Bible actually tells you, if you invest in my kingdom, you'll actually, we've seen it. If you invest in God's kingdom, you'll reap the rewards. He will bless you with so much better, like with so much more stuff. So I wrote here, my last point before I land, is you can't dedicate yourself to two opposing things. If you prioritize money and material success above everything else, you will in fact neglect your values, your spiritual well-giving. But if you put God first, you will use your money wisely without becoming a slave to it. So guys, I would like to confess, I was a slave to my money. I was a big slave to my money. I would always feed my ego because I want this pair of shoes, I want to buy this, I want to buy that. And then when I found myself in a situation where I've accumulated so much debt, it got me thinking. I'm like, hey, I'm in the slumps now. You see, because we try to resurrect ourselves. But in the Bible, we saw it along Easter, God resurrected Jesus. The stone was rolled, the tomb was empty. We're like, oh my word, what happened? But it says in the Bible that the Son of Man actually, he got crucified on the first day. After 3 days, he was resurrected. And we're singing here, what a beautiful name it is, but still we're being slaves to our money. We're being slaves to our money, but how can we come to church on a Sunday and say, okay, guys, we say, yes, Lord, but then on a Monday morning, you're going to gamble your last 100 rand just so that you think that you can get lucky. And then when the pastor comes to you and say, hey, Kamo, I think you're struggling in this and this, we get so defensive that no, but Brent doesn't know how much money I'm making every month. He doesn't know my struggles. He doesn't know that sometimes I'll go broke because I'm trying to feed this demon saying that, hey, man, we're having a party on Friday. But I know that, hey, if I go to this party, I spend my last, for example, my last 1,000 rand because I want to go entertain people. But then on Sunday, I want to come in church and say, yes, Lord, but I came with the hangover to church. I smell like a party. I smell like alcohol. But I want to say, yes, Lord. I want to say, yes, Lord, on a Sunday. But then I know on a Thursday, it's Puza Thursday, we drink Thursday to Sunday. Well, Thursday to Saturday night, going into Sunday morning, knowing that I have a responsibility to come to church. And that for me hit me because I feel like somebody has to hear this tonight. Somebody has to hear this. You can't say yes, Lord, on a Sunday. You can't say yes, Lord, to a Sunday, but then during the week, you get fed with this lie from the devil saying that, hey, you know, but Lord, this, yeah, no, but does the Lord really love you? But you find yourself going to a party on a Friday night when you're supposed to be coming to youth. You're supposed to be coming to youth. So, yeah, Lord. Closing. I would like to leave you with some thoughts that I think that will better understand you. I feel like Jesus is saying that with everything that we do, we have to be honest and responsible about it. Number two, true success is not just about wealth, but it's about how you handle what you are given. And if you, and like you have to choose what truly matters to you in life. You can't chase money and expect to, you can't chase money and expect the Lord to save you, but you're not investing in Him. So, thank you guys. Thank you so much.